There's a lot of, I suppose, intellectual property and nice calculators and important financial stuff embedded in Excel and spreadsheets and the macros that drive them for various enterprises. So that's probably the main reason. Star Office has a proprietary solution, so Open Office needs to be able to stand on an even footing. Hopefully, though, I've been discussing with some of the Sun engineers, and we hope that maybe we can come more together on that front, and hopefully there'll be some news about that sometime in the near future. Something people generally ask me is, you know, isn't this a pointless thing to do? You'll never catch up. There's so much API there. Things are changing all the time. And I'd say, yes, that's true, but really, we don't need to become 100% compatible to get to the point of 100% compatibility. Our findings generally with documents that we analyze is that there's a small percentage of APIs that are used and common objects. And users sort of tend to fall into a number of categories. You've got people who don't use macros at all in their Excel spreadsheets, and we have already 100% interoperability with them, obviously. There are people who just use the macro recorder, and we probably cover a fair bit of what comes out of the macro recorder, we think. But again, we only operate on documents that we get and that we analyze, and internal documents and documents sent from customers, so you know that changes every day, so we can get a new document that just... it breaks something, we've got to fix that. Another group of users would be, you know, people who use VBA macro or recorded macro generated code and modify that. And again, I think we're doing reasonably well there as well. And then you have complete nutcases out there who go away and they develop complete applications using Excel with, you know, 60 to 100 Windows API calls embedded in the thing, and that's actually a real example that I came across about 2 weeks ago with stuff that was sent into us, so that's just crazy, and there's an API or a UI and everything built into it, but yeah, we try. So briefly, and I suppose I better move on here because we're running out of time quickly. How does it work? Well, strangely enough, the first thing that we needed to do was to uncomment the code that's already there when you import Excel macros. And if you have a brief look down on the slide, you'll see that there's an option VBA support 1 mentioned there. And if you've looked at recent builds of Open Office, you'll see that that comes in on any module for Excel spreadsheets that have macros in them. Nothing else, of course, comes in, but that's because we haven't got everything upstreamed. But that's the hook that we have in there. And we hook all the changes that we've made to the basic engine in there, and there are of course already hooks in there for various compatibility options in BASIC. Don't know if you know it, but BASIC already has two compatibility options. There's a runtime one and a compiler option. And already Andreas Bregus, who's the Sun engineer who's maintaining the BASIC runtime, he's done a great job of putting in all sorts of interoperability goodies in the BASIC runtime, and we're helping along with more bits for this particular task. And obviously, if you've got VBA macros, they're going to call Excel API objects and the methods that are on those objects, etc. And so yes, we have to have a compatibility model that provides those objects and the methods, etc. And of course, if you start doing that, then you also have to start making changes to Excel itself to actually make it do the stuff you want it to do. So I'd like to talk just briefly about upstreaming, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, and people ask me, how much of this is actually in OpenOffice real proper at the moment? And I'd have to say, not enough. We've got the VBA option support, which is our initial hook in there already. It's not very useful by itself, but it's a start. Another thing that's always sort of cited as a big blocker is things to do with array handling. There's a number of things about array handling that cause problems for VBA programmers, and in particular VBA Excel programmers. So One common object is range. Anybody who's familiar with VBA is going to be familiar with range. So range, its standard thing is you get a matrices back out of it, which is a two-dimensional array. Unfortunately, the interaction between UNO and BASIC, when it deals with multidimensional arrays, which end up being sequences of sequences, is that it converts them to arrays of arrays. Now, obviously, if you've got code that thinks it's dealing with multidimensional arrays and you give it an array of an array, it's not really going to work. So we already have patch in there that's introduced a new type into CSS com. I think that's consunstar script array wrapper and not com. And what that does basically is it just allows an UNO object to indicate to the BASIC runtime that, hey, this bit of data here just made this array of arrays or sequence of sequences. I want you to convert that into a multi-dimensional array, not an array of arrays. And also, I want you to change the base a bit. So the default base would be 1 or 0 because VBA is a bit strange. You can tell it that the default base for arrays is 0 or 1, and you do that with an option at the top of the module. But if you use the actual API for Excel and you get an array back from range, for example, it doesn't care. It doesn't care what the option base is. It's going to put it to be 1, no matter what. Now, it's possible that there could be similar scenarios where it puts it to 0, no matter what you tell it. I don't know. I've only seen the 1 version. So at least we have the functionality in there that we can control that. So that's good. We also support a default method concept, which is a new thing in there, and something that's a key thing to implement collection-like syntax, which is another major kind of stumbling block in VBA versus OpenOffice API. So I'll just go really briefly through this. Worksheets is a global object, and that's another thing that we want to work on, and hopefully we can work with the Sun guys on this, is in order to hook in the whole VBA thing. Most objects are you manage to contact most of the bits that you need in Excel by initially contacting a set of well-known objects. Usually they're in the global namespace, and things like your worksheets collection, the application object, etc., etc. So worksheets is a collection object, and just here in this little small example, dsheets is just dereferencing that worksheets object. And you can see that in VBA you can do something like dsheets 1, or you can go dsheets sheet 1, and both of those are indexes, but they're indexes of, one's a numeric one, one's a string one. We don't really have that sort of concept in OpenOffice BASIC, and also you have this strange syntax where you mention the object and you pass parameters to it without specifying any sort of method. So it turns out actually there is a method involved, it's called item, and it's a default method, and it gets shoved in there if you don't manage to specify a method in there in the first place. So we've introduced this another new type into, or a new interface into BASIC. And basically when BASIC interprets this kind of syntax, it goes and it looks at the object and it sees, does it implement to do this new interface, which I think is called X default method, if my memory serves me correctly. And if it does, then it grabs the name of the method that it wants to use, which is in this case item, and it runs it, and away you go, and we have now another part of collection-like syntax sorted. The other one would be using it with a for each type syntax, and it turns out there's already support in BASIC for that if you actually use X enumeration access, I think, then it will automatically enumerate through the object for you. So any of our objects that are supposed to be collections, for example, they implement the X enumeration access, they implement the special hacky X default method thingy, and of course we have our option to turn on all the other goodies, so things behave sort of like VBA. So what needs to be upstreamed? Well, we've got a fair hunk of hacks in there. We can do things like we can dim R1 as range being obviously compatibility object in our API. Set and assignment of VBA objects or BASIC objects or even objects are differentiated. I won't go into too much detail with this other than say in openoffice.org BASIC, the standard behavior is that set and assign are actually the same thing. There's no difference, but there's a big difference in VBA with those two operations. Both VBA constants are available as constants in the symbol map or whatever, if you want to call it. they're available directly in your basic IDE. Once you mention them, if you try and print whatever VBA yes, no, or whatever constant you want, it'll give you a reasonable and a right value for it. And we have Maho to thank for that, who, I don't know what he was doing. The guy must have been doing constants day, night, weeks, who knows. Great guy, thanks. Another strange thing is default properties, which was back here and I skipped over. It's a strange VBA behavior where you can do things like, you can see down the bottom, R1's a range object, and you can assign it to a string, or you could assign it to a number, a double, a date, whatever you want, and it magically coerces the type and changes the value of the cell to be that type. So that's when the object is a left-hand side value, and you can also do the same kind of similar thing when it's a right-hand side value. So you can have as we have there, a var, which is a string, and you can assign it to the object R1, and if R1 contains whatever it contains, it'll be converted to a string, and away you go. So, yeah, we have some stuff in there to do that kind of stuff as well, and basically that's another kind of X something, X default something, we call it an X default property, and the basic runtime looks for that kind of stuff when it sees these kind of assignments going on, and it does the right thing. So, what's next? Okay, some things we don't do very well. We don't really handle user forms and controls very well. In fact, we don't handle them at all. We just barf when we get encountered any attempts to use them. So, things I'm interested in doing would be things like allowing you to access the controls from the sheet as a variable, like the example that's there. I'm sure you can read it. And initially, just support some basic API, because generally that's what people use. So if you've got a combo box, for example, people generally just use value and add item, and not much more else. There are more array handling funnies in there. For instance, going hand in hand with the way that arrays behave in VBA, and the difference that there is with BASIC. In BASIC, arrays are copied by reference, and in VBA, they're copied by value. So in order for somebody to access a slice of an array within an array in VBA, it makes sense that you have syntax like we see here, where you've got the bracket to index into the first array and then the second index into the second array, because obviously you'd be doing a unnecessary copy otherwise. So basically we need to change BASIC to behave in a similar way when the compatibility flags are enabled. There's also an internal connection class there. I don't know if people know about it or not, but when the various compatibility options are enabled, there is actually one buried in there, another gift from Andreas. But there's some things it doesn't do quite like it should, like there's an add method which can take a key, and the automatic index doesn't take a string key either, so it doesn't quite, you know, work the same way as the VBA variant does. But I'm sure it's not going to be too hard to fix. And of course, we need to do more document analysis. So finally, what can you do to help? Well, you can start voting for issues. If you look at the wiki page that's mentioned, there's some details there of some of the key issues. You can also help identifying some of the API that's not being implemented. That's actually going to be quite an easy task, I'd imagine, because there's lots. You can also test existing API that we have there. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if it all doesn't work as expected. Generally, when you implement something to try and implement what's there in VBA, you look at the VBA help, and then you go and you try it, and then you find that it's VBA help lies sometimes. Or it doesn't. It's quite hard to sort of figure out exactly what it's doing under every single circumstance. So you cover most of the bases, and you hope that you cover them all, but sometimes you don't. So if people find problems, please tell us. Additionally, if you're using the enabled version of VBA and you come across documents that don't work, we'd really love it if you sent those documents to us. And again, there's details on the site or the webpage about that. We use test MSVBA from libgsf, and you can dump code if you really don't want to give us a document or you can't anonymize it. I would stress though that documents are much, much, much better than code, because there's a whole lot of interconnections in there that really we need to do things properly. And if there's any developers out there who want to help, please code some compatibility API. It's not actually as hard as you think, and it's a great introduction for hacking OpenOffice, and you know, we're happy to help you. Just come along to Go on Freenode and talk to any of the guys there, or me, and we'll certainly give you a helping hand and get you involved. So, I'm just going to run through, if I have time. Do I have time? I think I do. Some very quick demos, which we're very lucky, or maybe lucky, to be able to do because we had such problems earlier. Excuse me. Right. No, that's a basic window. You're not going to be able to do anything with that. Right, here's one that a lot of people probably have seen in various other presentations, perhaps. Let me reduce the size of it there. You all know about hypocycloids. And from your school days, hopefully. Well, this is actually an example from John Wallenbach's, the infamous Excel guru guy, from his set of examples. We've had to tweak it a little bit because we don't support everything, obviously, but it works pretty well. And you can see examples of the button interaction, and I'd stress that these buttons are actually I don't know if these ones are, but I'll leave me alone, I'll explain later. So you can mess around with this. It's get a random one, add them to your favorites, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's just a demo. There's some code, good code in here. You want to see what's kind of running in here natively? This is an XLS spreadsheet, if I didn't mention it, and not OpenOffice. So you got a click handler here for an animate button, which is hidden. I wonder why. We don't support it. But we have the scroller clicks, and we handle all of this API down here. So we're doing things like assigning ranges, calling random, screen updating, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, great stuff. Let's move on to another demo because I'm sure people are getting bored. And here's one that we use internally. Again, any of you who are at the keynote would have heard Deborah talking about how we are, when we transitioned, we basically, you know, we had to deal with our own internal problems. So like any big company, there's a whole lot of spreadsheet driven stuff. And in this case, this is a return on investment calculator, and this works 100%. It's an XLS sheet, there's a lot of stuff going on. Again, user initial salary, I'll put in my salary here and give you an example of a button being clicked. Whoops. I get nervous around my salary. So yes, that's my salary, obviously. And you can go away and reset defaults. And if we had time, we could go away and we could enter all the numbers in here and get lovely, lovely stuff coming out, lovely numbers, and we could see how much money you're going to make by investing in Suse and Novell products, which I'm sure you all really want to do. So yeah, I mean, if we can find the basic window, I can show you what kind of code is in there, basically. Here we go. I don't know if you noticed, but there's actually, I keep on forgetting, some nice new buttons been added that make things a little bit easier to navigate around the place. I'd like to say they were added by us, but they haven't been. I think there's a lot more in that area, actually, that we could do. Edit. Okay, so we got some stuff going on here. There's usage of sheet collections and all that kind of good stuff. I wonder, is there a for each example in here anywhere? Let's see. Oops. Probably isn't. I can't remember actually what is in this spreadsheet. No, I'm sure we'll find one if we really, really try. Anyway, okay, so I'm just going to give you one more last demo and then any questions if there is any. This one I've been just working on over the last couple of days. Event handling is something that we haven't been doing very well. The current version of OpenOffice, and I mean the vanilla one, and ourselves included, although we have gone a little extra step. There are two types of controls normally that you find on your Excel sheets. You've got the form controls, which I think are the old style ones, and then you've got the toolbox controls, which are the ActiveX ones, I think. They're ActiveX based. And the import for the old form controls is quite good. There's actually a physical binding between the control and the macro, and I think you can only have one macro associated with the control. The toolbox controls are slightly different. There's actually quite a loose binding between them and the event handling routines. So typically you're going to have a command button or something like that. It's going to be called command button underscore one. And whenever an event occurs, instead of looking for some hard binding, what it'll do is it'll look for an event handler in the sheet that's associated that the control or the it will look for an event handler in the module that's associated with the sheet that the control is on. And so you could have multiple event handlers associated with the control. For example, you could have command button 1 underscore click for a click handler, underscore mouse over for a mouse over button, etc., etc. Then you have things like worksheet open events and worksheet close events, and you have things that happen that don't quite fit in with the OpenOffice event handling model. For example, things like a before close event will pass you a parameter and called cancel. And that gives you the opportunity to actually veto the operation. It's actually an in-out parameter, so it comes in, and if you say cancel yes, the controller will return to the application and it won't close. You have similar opportunities with the controls that I mentioned. So we've been trying to do some work around that area, and at the moment we can run the aforementioned event handlers for controls. We do pass them parameters. We don't handle the in-outs at the moment. I've been doing some work looking at it, and in this demo and in this build, I have some worksheet events going that we don't actually have in, even in the OO build yet. As I said, this stuff was just done on Wednesday and Thursday before we flew out here. So for example, this sheet, there is an worksheet open event that launches it and knocks it onto this sheet, but that's really not very interesting, I suppose. This is a sheet activate event, and it's just displaying a pop-up, and then it runs a macro that just fills out all of this gunk here. You'll notice there's an active cell thing up here, so we have a worksheet selection event, so you can see that's changed. And you can even, if I could get this thing to work, don't crash, please don't crash. There's a multiple selection, for example, if you look up there. So it works quite well, and you can have some more interaction here. This is a message box, and it's using the proper constants, so you can say, no, I don't want to delete them, or you can say, yes, I'll try and show you the code for that quickly. If we don't have time, I'm just going to scoot through the examples, but if we don't have time, please come up to me if you want to see stuff, and I can show you afterwards, after we're finished. So, okay, let's move on very, very quickly. This whole spreadsheet actually wasn't developed by me. It was developed by somebody in-house, and it's based a lot on that infamous VBA to Excel transition document that's hanging around on the old website somewhere, if you know the one, the Crossref document. So, yes, we can do things like here, the button handlers we mentioned earlier. We do things like we use wait in the way that VBA does when our compatibility option is on. So if you looked at the code for this, you'd see wait plus a time plus an interval. Unlike wait in normal OpenOffice, which is just a millisecond time to wait. So it's based on time rather than anything else. And we're using the interior API if you're interested to change the color there. So we're just demoing the same thing being done with screen updating on or off. So same code is running with screen updating off here. You're not going to see the colors transition. Yeah. Some of these examples are, I know it must be very exciting for you all to be watching. didn't press the button.
No, I did.
Okay. Screen updating obviously is not something that gives very good user interaction, since you don't know what's going on. This one is an example from that VBA XREF document that I mentioned, and it's using the .end with those various constants involved that you pass the .end. And again, it does stuff and there's a wait in there as well, so it's doing multiple selections. It's selecting to the end and then doing another selection onto the selection that's already there. Show you code again for that if we have time afterwards. And here's the example that they have in that document, where they have a big, huge, massive OpenOffice.org API bit to generate a chart, and then they have the 6 or 7 lines in VBA. So yes, to generate a chart, and there you go. And this last one is just, let's not go there. I think we just have a quick look at the VBA code. What about that? And then we'll finish up for some questions. Presume that's a plan. There we go. Whoops. Wrong thingy. You can also double click on these things and you get the same menu up, so that's pretty cool. So I'm just gonna step through these modules and see what's in there. I can't actually remember. So this was one that we didn't really look at, where it's rotating a matrix. And you see nice use of width range, not mentioning any value or anything like that. Here's the chart demo code that I showed you earlier. With the press of a button, you can create your chart. So we could remove the title there, for example, just to prove that it actually is doing something. And we could change the name, call it bad demo chart, compile that, try and remember where the demo actually was. Where was it? It was there. We could delete that and go again. And it should say bad demo chart. So yes, it does actually do what it says on the tin. Right, this is the generate. Okay, if you remember the one that did the colors and stuff like that. So it's doing a bubble sort. And there's your application screen updating. Application wait, that was the one I was talking about. So you have the time now, plus 1 second. And that's quite different. You've got things like the interior thingy, and you can change the color index, etc., etc. Yeah. So we're getting there, slowly but surely. And that's the worksheet selection change thing that we saw earlier. So we're getting in, and here again is another modification that we have, so you can do things like by value, target, as range, which is what you'd expect. And the click handlers, as described earlier. So, I did mention this thing earlier about being able to veto operations with this funny VBA behavior where you can pass an inode parameter to an event-driven Yes, that was another example, just to show you that it fails. But anyway, I just want to show you this one last thing. If you just bear with me for 1 second. Okay, so we got this before close method here, and when it runs, it's going to check a particular named range to see if it contains a yes, and if it does contain a yes, then it'll close the document. But if not, it's going to veto that close. So I guess you've probably guessed that there's already an N in there, yeah? So there you go. It's veto to close. And, come on. Yes. So here we go, close. Did I manage to wipe it out? I did. Very stupid. Sorry about this, guys. I've just managed to lose my place. Ah, okay. I didn't see what happened. Right. That was a lowercase. Why I'm really doing... Ah, yes. Where is the shift key? Yes. If you came up here, you'd understand why I'm having so much trouble. And this is Michael's laptop. And for some reason, he's got a laptop with a Norwegian keyboard on it. So, yes, it must be why, and for some reason it hasn't changed. Why is that? What?
You're on the wrong set.
Thanks, Quaidon. Where would it be without you? Well, we'd all still be here, obviously. Alright. Finally, I think we might actually close this document and then we can all go home. Right, well, hey. That was a pain. Right. And that ends my disaster. Thank you very much for listening. So, if anybody has any questions, I'll try and answer them as succinctly as my presentation went, yeah? As I said, if anybody wants to come up to me afterwards, I'll be hanging around the place for the next couple of days. So, if that's it, if there's no questions, thanks very much for listening. And that's it.
I'm late, but what this VBA interoperability is? Mm-hmm. It's in the Novell Open Office or in the Vanilia?
It's in the Novell Open Office at the moment. At the moment hosted as patches on OO Build, and we have an incubator project called VBA Interoperability, which is part of OpenOffice, where we're actively trying to upstream all of our VBA interoperability work to the vanilla OpenOffice.org. So this hopefully will be available soon in an OpenOffice near you without having to download an Novell branded version or from some distro that uses OO Build, which is probably a lot of distros. We won't go into that. It's a different topic. Okay? Anybody else?
How many examples of them do you have worked with? And how, what do you expect? What is the symbol coverage of your solution?
We so haven't been...
You currently focus only on Excel, right?
On Excel, yeah. We're currently only focusing on Excel. I couldn't actually tell you how many documents that we have. We probably have a lot of documents that are, there's a lot of stuff in that doesn't work. And that's what we're tracking, rather than what does work. So typically we are taking in documents from our customers, internal documents. We feed them into a fancy pivot sheet, and we start looking at the things that start cropping up most often, with the most frequency, in various documents that we have. So, that's why I'm saying the next things that are going to happen for us are controls and user forms, because this is one of the big things that we're seeing in any of the documents that we're seeing. Like initially we were looking at simple documents, and now we're looking at, now that we are looking at things that don't work, obviously the complexity is moving up as the data set comes in, because we cover more simple stuff and that's gone. So now we're moving on to the next phase. And that's not to say that if you launch this stuff up that all of the API is covered, but that's certainly not the case. We try to cover the main objects that people use. And, you know, along with this, you know, 100% compatibility myth that's gone on out there, I think, you know, if a company's migrating, they've got a lot of skills there with their developers who've spent whatever years working with Excel. You know, if the least thing that we can do is offer them some sort of hope that not all of their knowledge is gone, and they can still maybe rewrite what they have using familiar objects in a different way to actually get the thing to work in an interoperability fashion. I think, you know, that's a win in itself. But obviously we're aiming higher than that, and we want more stuff to run completely without any interaction at all. So, thanks for the question. Anybody else?
How big is the object? How many different classes
do we have?
No, how many, if there were, you know, for the mythical 100% coverage,
I have no
how
idea.
Many of the damn things are there?
Tons. I have no idea, Joey. There's just lots. Lots of them, I guess, nobody's ever going to use. I don't intend to support, for example, the OpenOffice Helper object, which there is an API for. You know, the little squidgy guy in the lower corner who really annoys you? Yeah. You know, there's lots of things like that out there in the object model. No point. Or I don't see the point, but if a big enough customer complains, I'm sure we'll do it for them.
And what about the linked object, for example, when you call a word object?
We're not handling any other applications at this point. That's future work, and I can't comment as to when we would start that, or if we're even going to start that. We're concentrating purely on Excel at the moment. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, I think we'll call it a day. Okay, thank you.